Hello and welcome to the Scrap Podcast, where we talk about the increase in the size, the cost, the extent of the reach, and the power of a terroristic, tyrannical, de facto government. Ha ha ha.
That vampiric voice was most appropriate.
What's up?
Yeah. I was talking to Joe just before the podcast. I figured I'd talk to him for about 10 minutes. 5 minutes into the conversation, the phone disconnected.
Perfect.
Here waiting for you to call in. And about 5 minutes into waiting, the phone disconnects. So, you might be soloing tonight.
Solo Kane.
Hey, my phone now has your name correctly spelled in the spell checker. Right down to the apostrophe.
Coolness.
Yep.
Right, down to the apostrophe. So, what's our subject for tonight?
I don't know. Do it local.
Do what?
My viewpoint of politics is do it local.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet just about anything that you pull out of the news right now as a current event that's some sort of political hotbed that I have not paid attention to whatsoever, I can probably tie it to the standard repeating errors that humans make over and over and over.
Humans make errors?
All the time.
No.
No. Yeah, we're far from perfect. Problem is, we don't pay attention to what we've done, so we end up repeating it over and over and over again.
Not me, I'm perfect.
Yeah.
A perfect man.
Well, this is almost political. This is a discussion I had with Lola this evening. It was a short discussion, but basically they had changed the labeling on Bar S beef franks, all right? And they'd put on there, brand new label, same product, okay? That's not the exact words, but, you know, basically they were letting the old customers know that it was the same product. Same product, new label, okay? And, you know, it's like Lowe's question is, well, is it the same? Is it the same thing? It's like, well, yeah, it's the same product. They changed the label because they want to try to attract new customers, but they don't want to lose the old ones, so they threw that little sticker on there saying that, you know, same product, new labeling, right? And, you know, I pointed out that people, when they go and buy stuff in the grocery store, they're not logical. They're emotional and visual, okay? Remember the pictures that they saw in the commercial, and they feel the joy that came from the little jingle that went along with it, telling you that you're a great guy if you take care of your girl by buying her Hebrew Franks, whatever, you know.
Or a diamond that's worthless.
Yeah, whatever, you know. So they drop these little words on us that we don't really pay attention to, and they don't want to because it gets into our subconscious better if we don't pay attention to it. All right. And so they try to come up with ways of paying more attention to their problem. Knowing logical, they just, you know, try to make it more pleasing and you know, make it pop out from time to time. So to do that, they have to change the label from time to time to make it pop out, and thus easy to ignore. All right. And so, you know, that's what that was all about. And she, her response is, well, I think logically when I buy products, but we all think logically when we buy products.
I don't.
Well,
I do sometimes, but most
I know I'm not logical, but I diligently make an effort to read the labels.
Right. You make an effort to be logical.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I have a deep-seated emotional need. I have a deep-seated emotional need to be right. And somewhere along the lines, I've learned that I can't be right unless I'm So that kind of drives me to try to be logical. Anyway, that's my excuse.
And I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. Because, you know, I have to be right, and if I'm wrong, then I gotta figure out some other thing. No, I could be wrong. I could be wrong on everything. But, you know, there it is. That's about as political. That's about as political as it got. The next one
You're breaking up.
Unless you got a better subject, the next one I got is Vacation Bible School.
Vacation BBS.
Yeah, VBS. Yeah, apparently it's the season for VBS. When I was still living in the Kingsville area, I helped with the Vacation Bible School for my mom's church, and they had bought the supplies for it and all the criteria and stuff off a website. And then they used people like me to make the stuff that they couldn't afford.
They used people like you for what?
Arts and crafts. To produce the parts that they couldn't afford. Too much. The main arts and crafts person. Yeah, we ended up making a great big cardboard pirate ship front that could be disassembled relatively quickly and back together, you know, nicely. As opposed to buying the pirate ship that the website was selling with pre-printed pictures on the side of the card.
Oh, yeah. Always better to make your own.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah. The people at church didn't seem to think so. But the big thing I noticed is all these different churches with all their different viewpoints apparently went to the same two or three websites to purchase their Vacation Bible School materials. All right. Now, you know my mom. She's in the church that used to be a breakaway from the Mormon church. Now it's some sort of new age pseudo pretend
wannabe
to be
RLDS.
Well, it's a wannabe mainstream. It's an RLDS denier. It's a, you know,
it's like Mormons for Jesus.
I don't think you could find a Mormon who said they weren't. But yeah. But here's my point. All right, so there's all these churches that have all their different beliefs, and while most of them only use the Bible, all right, they all have their different interpretations of the Bible, and yet they're going to the same source for their vacation Bible school materials. All right, there isn't going to be any quotes from the book of Nephi in something off this website. Okay? All right? There'll be quotes from Job and from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and stuff like that. But if your particular brand of Christian church doesn't believe in the Trinity because they very carefully read scriptures and found that Christ and God said man can't be God, yeah, go ahead and write me hate letters. Why are you getting your materials from somebody who will probably say that the Trinity is factual? Or vice versa. You believe in the Trinity, and maybe this vacation Bible school denies it. You know?
Right.
You know, why? Why are you outsourcing your thinking? All right? If you're going to have some sort of weird belief, then do the believing of that weird belief on your own.
Well, it's no fun to do it on your own. We need to indoctrinate and brainwash other people to join us in our stupidity.
Well, that'd still be better than what they're doing. What they're doing instead is they're outsourcing their thinking and looking for somebody else to brainwash them into their stupidity.
Oh, that's stupid.
I have my own stupid beliefs, but I'm going to outsource my thinking to this other group and take on their stupid beliefs.
Right? How stupid can we be? Let's have a stupid contest.
Yeah. Happy, happy, joy, joy. So, yeah, there was only like, you drive around the neighborhood, and you look at the different churches, and they all had the same banners out, and there'd only be about two or three different banners out there. And the year I'm thinking about, they had the pirate one. And actually, most of the churches went with it that year, so it didn't matter which church you went to. You still got the same Pirates of the Caribbean Bible, you know, vacation Bible school. And then the year before that, I think the church did I can't remember. It had some puppy dogs and stuff like that involved in it. All I know is they bought a whole bunch of stuff, and they had these banners that they rolled out over the windows, and each one had a verse and a key phrase, and, you know. Grant, I have to admit, it was vanilla enough that just about any their own slant on it as they taught the kids. But I don't know, maybe you're one of those churches that actually reads the original King James 1611. The original 1611, not the pseudo 1611 that they've been putting out lately. And you had all the knew how to read it with all those in there, and you had the full apocrypha there, and we're reading it. That Vacation Bible School is not going to even mention the apocrypha, no matter how important you think it is.
Right.
So, yeah, all you Bible thumpers that think the King James is the one and only, how many of you can quote from the Apocrypha? You didn't even know it was in there. It's like,
well, the King James Version is truly inspired, but it's the New Revised Version that's the truest inspired version of the Bible. Like, okay.
As you believe.
As you believe.
As you believe. Are you out there taking care of your widows and orphans? Are you looking to see what your fellow churches are up to and what they need as far as help goes? And no, they don't need a good Bible thumping. Are you helping them out with their widows and orphans also? Are you getting together to make sure that everybody is well fed and healthy and, you know, for those who want to work, they have jobs. Telling the lazy that they can't eat if they don't work, you know, that kind of thing. You know, or are you turning it over to Uncle Sam to be your savior? Because he's doing all that for you. You've outsourced Christ's work to Uncle Sam, and you're letting Uncle Sam be your savior. And still calling on Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus is my Savior. How do I know? Because I call on His name. And Christ's response to that was, lots of people call, and I'll say, I never knew you.
You didn't what?
You didn't do any of the things I asked you. You have said.
Oh, but I'm spreading your word.
Yeah, you're spreading the word. Yeah, so did Job's friends. Job's friends spread the word, and they got told that if they wanted their prayers heard, they had to go to the guy that they accused of being a sinner. Because the Lord God Almighty was sick of them. He didn't want to hear their word anymore. Because they were saying things that weren't correct.
According to God.
According to God.
You don't know nothing.
According to who claims to be God.
According to the man who wrote in God's name.
Yeah, I know. We're going to get struck by lightning.
I speak for God, therefore... You must do as I say.
Hey, folks, you just heard me say it. The Bible may not have been written entirely inspired by God. But yet I find when I go out in the world, the average person who claims that the Bible is written and inspired by God Almighty Himself only, when you point out key scriptures to them, you find out that the majority of those people will not adhere to those scriptures because it's uncomfortable or undesirable on their part or whatever. And yet I, who do not find that everything in scripture is absolutely 100% correct, adhere to it more than they do.
Whatever.
Well, I don't
at
know.
At least you think you do.
This is true.
You're probably pretty close, though.
At least I think I do.
Yeah. We all pick and choose what parts of the Bibles that we want to believe. And
That's the other thing. It's not just one book. It's in the current version that most people have, it's 66 separate books. And that's kind of important to know because a lot of people, they turn to Revelations, the last book in the collection of books, and they look at those last few chapters and it says, anybody who adds a dot or tittle to this information is going to suffer all the curses in it. All right? And then they apply it to everything from Genesis to Revelation. When let's suppose it does apply thing from Genesis to Revelation. By the time Moses did not write everything in the book of Genesis on his own. A lot of it was already written by people before him. And all he did was he reworded it. In other words, he changed some dots and some tittles. So by your reasoning, Moses is cursed.
Cursed is Moses.
Yeah. You know. But, you know, basically all he did was he took some common writings that were out there at the time that were used for religious insight and such, and he tweaked them to make a point. All
right?
It was a spiritual point. All right? You know, one of them was a conversation between Enlil, Enki, Inanna.
Inanna, that's my ex-wife.
Inanna, some know her by the name of Ishtar. There's a few others. All right? But they were sitting around discussing what they were going to do because they were tired of doing all this hard labor themselves. They were looking for something, digging for something, getting out of the ground. It was something that was, it's believed what they were looking for was gold. And they needed it for other than monetary reasons. Their people were tired of it, you know, looking, you know, digging for it, even though they needed it. And so they decided that they were going to remake man in their image. And that conversation made it into our scriptures as, let us make man in our image, said by one individual to himself. Whereas the original conversation was a group of people speaking to each other. All right. And Moses' point that he wanted to make is that there was only one true God. All right. And that ultimately man was created by that one true God. Even though at the time it may have been common knowledge that somebody else had remade man from whatever man was originally into their image. So.
Oh, yeah, you're going to get struck by lightning.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I think Moses was right. There's only one true God. And that regardless of how we got here, whether we were genetically engineered or ultimately that God, yes, certainly made the universe that we're in. He certainly made the principles by which we came to be. And, you know, if it was done in stages, so be it, was done in stages. Whoever remade us, he created them also. Because they came out of the very universe that was his creation. So.
I agree to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think over me right now, but.
You what?
The clouds overhead are kind of thick, but I don't see any lightning.
Lightning is striking again.
So, yeah. So, I guess my point with the Vacation Bible Schools is, you have your beliefs and what you think your children should know and stuff like that. But you're turning it over to somebody else to determine what they should believe.
Right.
And you do the same thing with public school.
Oh, God, yes. I was just thinking
I'm too stupid to teach my own kids. Well, how'd you get so stupid?
Right.
Made you that dumb.
Right.
Either you're going to blame God and your teacher.
Go undumb yourself and then go teach your children. Or better yet.
You know what? There's been studies done on that.
If you teach your children, you will undumb yourself at the same time.
There's been studies done on that. People below average have successfully homeschooled their children, and those children have had grade point averages far higher than anybody in public school. So you do not need to be smart to homeschool your children and produce smart kids. You just have to be, you need to be wise enough to know that you should be doing it.
Well, yeah, dumb people usually have smarter, pretty smart kids. Look at my brother. I'm just kidding. Actually, look at my ex. One of them, anyway.
Yeah, I've seen your brother. He's actually pretty smart. He may not.
He's not very
smart.
He's too smart.
He may or may not have the right moral compass. And what little I know of him, I think he has the wrong moral compass. But he isn't stupid.
No, he's dumb and smart at the same time. He's actually too smart for his own good, and he uses it unwisely.
Yeah, his
there
moral
you go.
Compass.
He's
yeah,
dumb. He's not dumb, but he's not wise either.
Yep.
Where my ex was more wise, but not that smart.
Yeah, I'd rather be wise than smart.
Same.
Hear me, Lord. Take away some of my brains. Give me some wisdom. Anyway. All right. So I just about beat that dead horse. Next.
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 Well. I'm stuffing my face.
Has Ron Paul by any chance done his newest recording, or do we still need to wait an hour?
Don't know. Did you try and call?
No, my phone didn't start working until about 30 minutes before the podcast.
All right.
And since it seems to be holding on strong, I guess my signal's gotten better as the evening has gone on. But today's cloud cover certainly has not helped me. Oh, wow. I have three bar. Oh, I just dropped down to one.
All right, well.
Okay, I got two bars now. I had three bars when I first looked. All right, it's jumping up and down between one and two, which is better than earlier. It was jumping between one and none.
Let's see what Ron Paul has to say.
Okie dokie.
June 25th. Last week, the United States Supreme Court, in the case of South Dakota versus Wayfair, ruled that the Constitution's Commerce Clause allows state governments to force out-of-state businesses to collect state sales taxes. This decision overturns the court's precedent that a state could require only businesses with a physical presence in the state to comply with state tax laws. Unless Congress exercises its authority under the Commerce Clause to counter this decision with legislation, retailers will have to calculate sales taxes on every online purchase. An error in calculating sales taxes could cause a small retailer to undergo a costly and time-consuming audit, or even audits by multiple state governments. The compliance costs, along with the sales taxes themselves, will raise the cost of online commerce, burdening consumers and limiting the growth of Internet businesses. The burdens imposed on online commerce by the court's decision will fall particularly hard on smaller Internet retailers that rely on online sales to stay open. Stifling the growth of smaller and new Internet retailers may be bad for consumers, but it serves the interests of large brick-and-mortar retailers as well as large online retailers that already have to comply with state sales taxes because they have a physical presence in most states. These large businesses support giving state new taxing powers because they wish to use government power to make sure their smaller competitors stay small. Allowing states to tax Internet retailers with no physical presence in their states and thus limiting influence over state legislators violates the principle of no taxation without representation. Tax and power-hungry politicians will likely use this power not just to increase taxes but to impose other tax and regulatory burdens on out-of-state businesses. Having the power to tax and regulate employers and workers who cannot retaliate at the polls is a dream come true for many politicians. By making almost all online purchases subject to sales taxes, the decision will also reduce pressure on states to keep sales taxes low. The Constitution's drafter intended the Commerce Clause to create free trade among the states, not to enable states to impose taxes and regulations on out-of-state businesses. The growth of online commerce does not change the Commerce Clause's purpose. Allowing state governments to force out-of-state retailers to comply with state tax laws harms small businesses, harms the growth of online commerce, and raises prices. It also benefits politicians seeking new tax revenues and helps large, politically powerful corporations. Congress must protect consumers, taxpayers, and small businesses by passing legislation limiting states' ability to extend their taxing power across their borders. This would be a rare instance of Congress using its Commerce Clause powers for the intended purpose of promoting free trade among the states, not enabling the growth of government. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website at www.ronpaulinstitute.org and on my Facebook page. Thanks for listening.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1.
I'm trying to press 1, but it's not working.
To repeat the announcement,
that's all right.
Press
I think we heard
1.
It well enough.
Nookie dokie. Another increase in the size, the cost, extend the reach and the power of a terroristic, tyrannical, de facto government.
Basically, they're telling between though
you're
it's virtually travel, you know, it's virtual travel. That business that collected revenue that sold them items will now has to pay their state taxes.
Basically, they have to pay both ends. Because
yeah.
If you for example, I'm in Oklahoma right now, but my business is out of Missouri. So I sell stuff online. I'm selling stuff to 50 different states. I gotta basically pay 50 different taxes.
Yes. And the state you're in, you'd have to do it twice, I guess, coming and going.
Well, no, you don't have to do it once. But, yeah. But you
well, it could get worse, even if you didn't, even if you only sold to two other states. The other 47 states might still audit you on, you know, to see if you had.
Right. So,
in and of itself, that'd be expensive.
Right, because you'd have to hire a lawyer 47 times while they're using your money to audit you.
Well, or somebody else's at least.
Or somebody else's, yeah. But, you know, they're using our money to audit people so they don't got to worry about paying for, you know, the expenses because you and I pay for the expenses. And then they come after you. So you're essentially paying them to attack you.
No, really?
And then, after they're done attacking you, you end up paying them more.
Unless you're smart like your dad.
Well, yeah, but not everybody's got that kind of brains.
Like, oh, look at this. I forgot to include these receipts.
I think I'll claim them now. Thank you.
It looks like you owe me even more money than I originally claimed.
Yeah. Too bad we can't charge them penalties and interest. Actually, you can. All right, good luck collecting
them. And no court will back you up, but yes, you can charge them penalties and interest. And should.
Right, good luck collecting it. Right.
Here's another one for you. All right? So what if you didn't have a physical brick-and-mortar store in their state? All right? If you look carefully at the definition of their state, for you to have a brick-and-mortar store, you have licensed in their state, i.e. with their state. What if you just ran your business
building.
And you didn't ask? What if you just ran your business in a building or not and didn't ask their permission? Then you wouldn't be in their state.
Nope. But they get the people thinking that it means something else, and therefore...
Yeah, this is true. Sure, they do have them thinking it's something else.
Word games.
Well, which is exactly what I'd be accused of right now. But that actually is... That it actually
is... When they accuse you of word games, you say, I'm only practicing what you do practice. I mean, you know.
I'm only making the same chess moves I've seen you make.
Right. Can't beat them, join them. You can you hear all that?
All of what?
Clink, clink.
No, I don't hear the clink clink in the background.
Okay, cool.
As I'm sure you don't hear the low rumble of some engine off in the distance on N from your end.
Cool. So, yeah.
I'm just glad you still hear me.
True, you break up every now and then, and it's hard to understand you, but overall, you're doing pretty good. Now, back to taxation without representation. I mean, I already know what the solution is going to be to that problem. Basically, PayPal, you know, is going to make companies like PayPal stronger. Because they're going to have to come up with software that calculates the taxes or the theft for each state. And then it's going to force people like us to go through those companies. So PayPal is probably backing that idea 100% because that makes us more reliable on them.
Reliant,
yeah. It makes us more reliant on them. And that's a guaranteed paycheck.
Yep.
So invest in PayPal. We already know.
Yeah, feed the beast ahead of time.
We already know you're not going to stand up to the terroristic, tyrannical, de facto government. So invest your money into PayPal.
Yep. Might as well feed the beast ahead of time.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's always, you know, this is my personal reading of scripture. There's taxation God's way.
Oh no, that's we can't do that. That's what do they call that? Out of date.
Yeah, if you say so. If somebody who is older than time is out of date. Very short period of time. Well, I don't know. But, you know, from what I read, his method is you find somebody who you trust to spend the funds that you give him on, you know, orphanage, some way of taking care of the old folks, you know, whether it's an old folks home or you make an arrangement for live-in assistance. You know, like this homeless person needs a place to live, and this widow needs somebody to look after her. Yeah, check it out, see if they get along with each other, and put them together. You know? And, you know, you find people like that. And if perchance you find that the person you chose is not doing the job to your specifications, he's opened up a house of wayward women, and Johns are going in and out all night long, and he uses the excuse that, well, he's just providing housing for the homeless, these poor homeless women, they need someplace to stay, and you don't like the fact that he turned into a house of prostitution, you stop funding him. You go find the next better guy than him and fund that person instead. And you don't have to wait for an election year to do it. You do it that very day, that very minute that you discover it. You don't take back anything you've given him, but you don't give him anything new. And you might tell him why. And if enough people agree with you and move away from him, his house of debauchery will get shut down because he won't be able to afford to run it anymore. You know, and that's the way taxation should be. You should be able to vote with your feet. You still need to take care of the widows and orphans in your society. You still need to take care of the downtrodden and stuff like that. You have to pay your taxes. But your taxation should be purely voluntary. You decide where it goes and how it and who you're funding with it. Now, you might not have time to take care of the widows and orphans yourself. That's why you go out and hire yourself a Levite or a Testament put it, and you turn up for good deeds, but you're also keeping an eye on your good deeds, and if they're not being taken care of appropriately, then you fund somebody to do it. The way it's being done now, you got to wait 4 years to get rid of that congressman. You got to wait 4 years to get rid of that mayor in your town. You know?
Pretty much.
You do it God's way. The moment that mayor turns south, she might be able to call herself mayor, but with nobody funding her, she ain't going to get much done. You know, and you know, hey, those who like what she's doing, more power to them. Let them fund her, or him, or whatever. That goes back to my principle of, you know, hey, you want Obama to be your president? Fine, you can have Obama as your president. Let the people who voted for, who ran against Obama the first time?
Romney and Hillary.
Okay. So, Hillary, let them have it. Those who wanted Romney, let them have Romney. And those who wanted Obama, let them have Obama.
And those who want Hillary, we hang them from a tree.
And those who don't want any of them at all, let them not have any of them.
We hang them from a tree, too. Well, you know, it's kind of like this game I play, Mr. Legacy. It doesn't matter, you know, we don't have to have rulers. but people want to be ruled.
Yeah.
But each tribe has their own rulers, you know. It's just like, I just got picked to be the new ruler of my tribe, you know. I had no intentions of being the ruler, but somebody needed to step up to the plate, and so I did, and everybody looks to me for guidance, and it's a little bit more work, but, you know, hey. And so now I, as their president, if you will, work on our little tribe, and I work with the other leaders to ensure a peaceful environment within the kingdom. So, I mean, we could have that in real life, but, you know, for example, in this game, we have one tribe that's gotten too much power, and they're not nice people. And so they rule over all the other tribes. That being said, once the other tribes get more powerful, they may overthrow that tribe. But
or they just get sick of that server and let them have it.
Right, and each server would be like a different country in real life. So it's like, if you're not happy with, you know, what's going on in that country, and you can't fix it or don't want to fix it, go to a different country.
Yeah.
But you're going to have the same problems there, maybe.
More than likely.
But, I mean, that's the way things used to be in between large governments. The Native Americans had small governments. They had their tribes. And even in Africa and other places, they had tribes. They didn't have a large government. And the tribes fought amongst each other, and some ruled over others. Some were good, some were evil, but you got to pick your tribe, unless you were born into it. But you could always leave and join another tribe, maybe, if they trusted you.
Yeah, you didn't put the faceboard on your child the right way, so your child can't move over to this tribe because they flatten their nose in a different way than your tribe does.
Well, that might be, you know, that might be the case too. I'm sorry, you married a blonde and your child's not a redhead, or your child's not, you know, got dark enough skin. So therefore, we can't accept you because your child isn't of the right color.
Yeah. But what I was speaking about, there was actually Indian tribes here in North America. They would take boards and flatten out their faces, configurations. And every tribe had a configuration that, you know, that they would
do.
So
they would recognize each other.
Yeah. They didn't, they would complain how ugly the other tribe was and how beautiful they were because, you know, their nose was squashed to the left and the other tribe put a dent in their forehead or something. And it made them ugly. They didn't have a twisted nose, you know. And it was, you know, it was stupid. It wasn't even, it was just, you know, it was something that they imposed upon themselves.
Right.
You know,
like tattoos.
Yeah. You don't have the right tattoos, you can't be in our society. Granted, you can add later, but, you know, face washing and foot binding and stuff like that has to be done pretty much right after birth. And,
You still there? Okay, we lost him, I think. There he goes. Yeah, face squashing. Okie dokie. There was something I was going to talk about. And I don't remember. So, yeah, check out our website, scrapgovscrap.com. What time is it? Because we're only doing like 2 hours. We got 1 hour until our DD&D podcast. So let me do a little bit of an advertisement and let you know about our sponsors, which is me. First, we'll let you know about Lenny Ladner. That's where we got the idea and concept for Scrap Gov Scrap. Lenny Ladner actually owns the domain name Scrap Gov Scrap. And he had a website for it. It was actually a blog spot. And he's running for Congress in the state of Tennessee. He doesn't think he's going to win, so he's going to just make as big of an impact as possible. Well, him basically making as much noise and making as big as impact as possible gave me the idea to do what we're doing now. Basically, I was like, okay, well, if we can't win, we can be like Rush Limbaugh and the rest of those yahoos and just make as much noise as possible and wake as many people up as we can.
That's the thing to do.
Right. Even though Rush and them may not be doing it in the right aspect, they may not think we're doing it in the right aspect. But as long as we're, you know, gong clangers and waking people up, and like David says, or like Jesus said, feed his people, feed his sheep. We are, feed them with knowledge and, as well as, what they actually need besides knowledge. But educate people to not depend on the terroristic, tyrannical, de facto government. It's kind of like David was talking about in this game. It's like all you have to do is not subscribe to their rulership. It's like we don't subscribe to modern medicine, even though now they're trying to force us to do that. Don't subscribe, Do the alternative. What is the alternative? When it comes to modern medicine, the alternative is alternative medicines, God's medicine. Go, find what God planted on this earth and use that for your medicine. Well, what's the alternative for terroristic, tyrannical, de facto government? God's government. Find out what God wants for his government and follow his footsteps. Or, following Jesus' footsteps, basically.
Yeah. And basically, he doesn't force you to follow it, and that's how he wants you to run it. Don't force people to follow it. What happens if you don't follow Uncle Sam? Throws you in jail. He forces you to follow.
Right. Yeah. If you're punishing someone, you're causing harm to them because they're not following your rules. Your rules are probably not godly.
Scriptural.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then again, if they're in your house, that's kind of a different subject. I mean, there's a certain amount of harm you're only allowed to cause, but if they're causing you harm by not respecting your house.
You may not have the power to tell every woman in your house to sleep with you, but you could make it a rule that if they want to enter your house, they have to sleep with you and have the option to not come into your house.
Right.
But, ideally, you just ideally, the only control that you have is over your stuff, not over the people. You know, so you know, you may not want people walking on your lawn, and so you put out a rule: no walking on the lawn. My lawn's not for foot traffic. You know. Let's see now. I'm looking at receipts to see if that's an important receipt. Trying to clean house while I'm talking to you.
Clean house. I'm playing my game while I'm podcasting.
Shame on you.
Not really. So, I'm just basically using my hammer. I'm not really doing much. Just tearing up.
Ka-chink, ka-chink,
old
ka-chink, ka-chink.
Yeah. Tearing up this old base, getting all the good stuff out of it.
Oh, that's what I heard when I was talking to you earlier. No,
yeah.
I don't hear it now.
Yeah, I turned the volume down on the media. But we'll talk about that more on the we'll talk about that more on the DD&D podcast at 9 p.m. or 9:30, whatever. I put 9:30 on the website only because we tend to go over, but we'll start it at 9-ish. So there
well,
you go.
If we start at 9:30, that gives us plenty of break in between to take care of other
nonsense,
physical needs and such. Yeah.
Like eating, going to the bathroom.
Yeah. Oh, no, we're saints. Saints don't need to eat nor defecate.
Oh, I do that on the phone anyway, so it don't matter.
Yes, and I hang up on you when I catch you doing it.
Also on the podcast, then you comment about it on the podcast.
Yeah, can't win. Oh, my. Yep. Yeah, I guess the answer to the tax that Ron Paul pointed out is, you know, hey, it's taxation without representation. If you don't want revenue moving through your state, you know, if you don't want your good folks spending money on stuff. You know, Missouri gets it a couple of different ways. All right? If you buy something in the state of Missouri and you're a Missourian or you live in the state of Missouri, they tax you for just owning stuff every year.
Oh, yeah.
And if you don't, they won't grant you the privilege of being extorted for a driver's license. So.
Oh, please. Please. Don't take away my right to be extorted for driving.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait for the Dark Ages.
Really?
No. That's a hard life. But then again, we pretty much live that hard life now on the land. I only got to do it once a month, but...
It's not that hard.
Not that hard. It's not that bad.
It's hard making progress.
It's hard adapting, but once you adapt, it's not that hard.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I remember David Irish asking permission to go camp out on my mom's farm. He never got around to it. But we thought he was going to have it tough, you know, camping out in the middle of winter on our farm, because that's what he wanted to do. And here I've gone beyond.
Well, yeah, it's actually not that bad. I mean, I was thinking it would be worse than it was, but I was doing it this last winter once a month, but still 1 week out of a month. But then 1 week, or one time I was home, David was staying in the greenhouse, and I was kind of jealous. And I was like, you know, he's over there all comfy in the greenhouse while I'm over here freezing my ass off. And then I went and stayed in the greenhouse that week, and I was miserable. I was like,
yeah,
screw this. I'd rather be in the freezing cold.
Yeah, at least it's consistent.
Exactly. I was like, hell to the no. I mean, it was nice on one aspect, but it was horrible on another. And so I was like, nah, I'd rather just sleep in the cold. And it really wasn't that bad. The worst
part
was...
Well, yeah, you got enough blankets and such, you're good.
Yeah, the worst part is having to get up to go to the bathroom.
Right. Where I had some advantage... Once I stoked up the fire, it was, you know, I could bathe myself with hot water every night. Whereas,
yeah.
Well, I still did that in the winter in my camper, but it put a lot of moisture in the air when I did it because the heat creates a lot of water vapor when the gas burns, you know, so... So to heat up the water, not only was there boiling water putting off steam, there was the gas, the fluid as well. And so it would rain inside my camper whenever I do that. So kind of neat watching the condensation on the camper wall. You know, it'd travel down the wall and get it down so far and freeze, make icicles. And a nice consistent level.
Crap.
With crap.
I lost a table.
A table?
Yeah, I used to be in this game. Whenever things would decay.
Okay.
You would still get half of the materials. They would drop onto the ground. And then they did an update to where if it decays, you lose everything. Well, so I'm sitting here hammering on these tables trying to get the materials out of them because they got gold, they got silver, and other stuff in them.
All right.
And so I stopped hammering on these two tables to go hammer over here for a minute, thinking I had time to get back to the table, and it decayed real quick and vanished. So my work in hammering the table down was gone.
Oh, no.
I know, it sucks. I hate that update. I mean, if you stop hammering in order to repair your hammer, and it decays while you're repairing your hammer, you lose the material.
Well, that just blows. You go find another game.
Probably not, but I do hate that update. I'm going to have to complain.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, because before, if the materials dropped on the grass or dirt or something like that, you had so much time to pick it up before it would disappear. If it falls on a tile, it would stay there until the tile rotted away, and then it would just vanish. It just makes the game harder now.
More challenging.
More pain in the ass.
If it wasn't a pain in the ass, you wouldn't play it.
No, but yes, I would. But the more they make it a pain in the ass, the less likely I'm going to play it.
Hey, I'll tell you a game that's not a pain in the ass. Pokemon. Pokemon is not a pain in the ass.
No, it's just a pain in the street when you're walking out in front of a car.
No, that's Pokemon Go. That one may or may not be a pain in the ass. I don't know. But Pokemon, the original Pokemon, was not a pain in the butt. There was no way to lose. You might not win a particular battle, but you could always repeat it over and over and over again until you did.
True.
So it wasn't a pain in the butt.
This one's more like real life.
Yeah, I tell you, the only reason I played that game is because my kids loved it. All right? So, I played that game. I even developed ways to hack that game because it's more interesting to hack it than it was to actually play it.
Speaking of hackers, I know this guy who has somebody, probably another guy, hacking him, hacking his phone and posting stuff on the internet about him being gay and harassing him. He doesn't know who they are. The cops won't do anything about it. What can he do to stop it besides ignore him?
Does he have any idea who it is? He has no idea.
No idea. He thinks it might be his neighbor, but he has no evidence.
Well, he's accessing the phone.
Yeah, the hacker is hacking his phone.
I would suggest getting a new phone, changing a phone number.
He has.
And it still gets hacked.
Yep.
Well, that'd be an interesting one to look into. At this point, I have no clue. But if you ask enough people enough questions, the phone company or something like that might have an answer.
Maybe.
Well, you know, they kind of have a responsibility of maintaining the security
of his account. And it might just be a matter of talking to them, figure out what he needs to do. Which would be an interesting project. And I'd volunteer. But I'm a couple of months delinquent on moving out of a greenhouse. So I'm hoping to have my stuff packed up by tomorrow. Get out of Bill's way so when he gets back home, we can start working on making this greenhouse into what he plans on using it for this winter. Well, how long has this been happening to him?
About a year or so.
All right. I guess we make a note of it, and if I'm in better position to I'd be willing to start calling people and asking questions. Figuring out what's what. Provided he was willing to work on it himself. Interesting. Trying to eject his DVD from my DVD drive, and the door is refusing to open. Okay. Recognizes this there. It recognizes there's a blank DVD in there. It won't let me eject it. All right, Mr. IT guy. Oh, there we go. Okay. Looks like I'm going to have to get a screwdriver and pry that door open.
Pry!
Error occurred while ejecting DVD. Yeah, it didn't eject. I give up.
I give up. So go to Scrap, go Scrap to look at and listen to what we do. Got videos, got a blog that we might be posting stuff on. Got our podcast there, and that's about it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to be more conscientious about posting stuff, but I haven't quite figured out how to do it.
But you, the listener, the viewer, whatever, you can also post Liberty videos on our video site. It's like our own little YouTube account or our own little YouTube site.
Woohoo!
Anti-New World Order YouTube site.
Yeah, where all of the dang, I can't think of the right word.
Where the farmer and the cowman should be friends. What? Where the farmer and the cowman should be friends. Where the farmer and the cowman should be friends.
Where all the editing of your opinions will be done by us instead of Uncle Sam.
Uncle Spam.
Uncle Spam. Yeah, he does that too, doesn't he?
Just a little.
Well, yeah. Except they don't call it spam. They call it education. Public school.
They call it boob tubing.
That too.
They call it news.
All right. We call
it fake news.
Yeah, funny thing about that is, it's been fake news for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Even the stuff that us patriots love to hear.
Like Limbaugh.
They know it riles us up and gets us going and doing stuff weird and strange and gets us in trouble. That way they can say, look at all those weirdos.
Yeah, like Donald Trump and his wall.
Donald Trump and his wall. They thought JFK was killed by George Bush Sr.
he was.
You're not supposed to know we know that.
That's conspiracy.
And for me, it
They're
is.
They're not
too.
Supposed to know we know that they know we don't know.
Yeah, for me, it's only a theory because I wasn't there. And I don't have sufficient facts to back up any other opinion. So.
Yeah. I can second that opinion.
Hey. Well, this is it. Okay. Okay, according to this. Yeah, I'm just going to have to restart my computer. Too bad, so sad.
Hey,
too bad, so sad. What?
What do you want to do with a bunch of catalpa trees? I got about four. I got about 40 catalpa trees.
What are they?
They have big leaves, blue flowers. Oh, nice. Spread like weeds.
What do they do?
Spread like weeds. They're a legume. They put nitrogen in the soil. But mostly they're just a decorative plant. So I figure we plant one or two, and then I raise the rest in pots and sell them. You know, it might be a few years before somebody buys them, but, you know. But we'll have two parent trees. And I'll just, you know, whenever I need to refresh my supply of catalpa trees, I'll sprout them. It doesn't look like it takes anything to sprout them. And...
Parent trees.
Source trees.
Do they produce parents?
No, they produce more trees like them.
Oh, well, that's no good.
No
I need
good.
A babysitter tree.
A babysitter tree.
Yeah.
You're disgusting.
Why?
I refrain from answering that question.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
That's where I thought yours was.
You were not reading my mind this time.
Yeah, prove it.
No, a babysitter tree. So we have a babysitter to babysit a whole bunch of other stuff that we need babysitted.
Yeah, okay.
Retard.
Yeah, like the local retard.
But I would not mind a cheerleader tree.
A cheerleader tree.
Yeah, one that produces cheerleaders. Now my mind is in the gutter.
That would probably bring us customers.
I know, right?
Rah, rah, she come boom.
All right, so anyhow.
You too can get off the grid.
The increase in the size, the cost, the extent of the reach, and the power of the terroristic, tyrannical, de facto government.
What did Rush Limbaugh have to say this week?
Too much.
Nah, too much baloney.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to make of him. I'm pretty sure he's a provocateur.
Yeah, he's definitely in bed with Trump. Him and Hannity. And not Ivanka Trump either.
Yeah, get your mind out.
They wish. They wish. Oh, goodness. Now, there was something on the news. Ivanka was wearing a jacket that said something about not caring anymore. And she got a bunch of grief over that. But anyhow, apparently, the jacket was a statement to fake news, the media, the government, the media owned by the government, that they're not, you know, they're tired of their stupidity and they just don't care anymore. Let's see, I can't really think of anything else. Let's see what I got in my notes. Podcast notes. Well, you were saying something about getting off the grid. We have a website called Off Grid Singles. If you're an off-gridder, prepper, or survivalist, you might want to check that out. And again, check out our Demented Dungeons and Dragons podcast. Our Demented Dungeons and Dragons podcast is like the Agenda 21 podcast. We talk about Dungeons and Dragons about as much as they talk about Agenda 21.
Right.
Getting out of Babylon.
Now there's a podcast for you.
Does he have? Oh, he don't have a podcast anymore, does he?
I believe he still has a YouTube channel.
Right on.
Word of warning.
Believe maybe. Yeah, believe 10%.
Yeah. He has a pretty good book. I have to reread it, see if I still think it's a pretty good book. He doesn't follow it. He wrote it, but he doesn't follow it. But I'm beginning to have my doubts about him actually having written it. I'm going to start doing web searches once I get a hold of a copy of his book again. I'll take key phrases and do a web search to see if maybe his materials were extracted from elsewhere.
Perjury. Or not perjury. Plagiary.
Plagiarism. Plagiarism. Yeah.
He may have legally plagiarized, though.
Well, who knows? You know. All the same.
I just know that he loves to steal other people's ideas, and he loves to steal credit from other people. He's done it with me.
and walk off with other people's tools and
claim to turn his own. Yeah. But anyhow, he does have some good information, but just remember that it's somebody else's information.
Yeah, he may not necessarily be the original source. No. Yep. You still there? I think I may have lost my phone. Yeah, I'm out of material to even talk about. There he is. I lost Kano.
Hello, and welcome to the Scrap Go Scrap Podcast.
Yeah, thank you for coming back.
Where we talk about the increase in the size, the cost, extending the reach and the power of a terroristic, tyrannical, de facto government. Getting out of Babylon. Getting out of Babylon.
That's actually an important thing to do.
Run!
Run, do not walk. Leave Babylon as soon as possible.
As quick as possible. Quickity quick.
Yeah.
Okay. Podcast notes. Never let a good crisis go to waste.
Right. Why not?
Yes. With every crisis, there's an opportunity. The government sees that one way, we should see it another. Basically, if the government's not creating the crisis, well, either way.
they use the crisis in order to get more power and money into their hands and into the hands of like-minded criminals that follow them into office. We should be doing the opposite. We should take that opportunity to help people and show them the truth, the way, and the light.
Yep. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there's people who like war. But there's people who like peace. We should have a plan for maintaining peace. Just like they have a plan for maintaining war.
Yep.
So...
But that's not as exciting.
Why not?
Guys?
Dang it, to the fly. One of those flies is going to figure out I do not want them landing on my lips.
But they want a kiss.
Yeah. And the tax collector wants to live in my pocket.
Oh, I know.
It's a little too personal. They should stay away. And I tell you what, those flies keep trying to land on my lips. I'm going to keep trying to kill them.
Kill, kill. Kill them all.
The tax collector can read into it whatever they like.
Kill, kill. Kill them all. Red rum! Red rum!
Self-defense does not count as murder.
This is true. Yep, my hammer's broke. Go hammer, yo hammer, go hammer, yo hammer, yo hammer and something like that.
Right.
It's hammer time. Battery at 26%.
Yeah, so you'll have a half an hour to charge it here in a little bit.
Yeah. I am charging it. Oops. I just repaired the thing that I planned to destroy.
What'd you do that for?
Accident. I hate it when it happens.
Accidentally on purpose?
No, I forgot to unequip my repair kit. Oh, and by the way, when you play the game,
yes.
Try, it's very rare, but make sure you find and collect repair kits.
I can buy them.
Well, there's different kinds of repair kits. There's regular repair kits, and then there's repair kits that repair the repair kits.
Oh, I can't buy those. Okay. Why not just buy another repair kit?
Basically. I'm just kidding. It's a joke. People often ask in the game, can you repair repair kits? And we always tell them yes. And then they try, and it doesn't work.
That's You're funny. A bunch of evil bastards.
Well, shoot, I even tried it once.
So you're a bunch of stupid evil bastards.
Yeah. But
That's
it don't
all right.
take much to it don't take much to make a repair kit. Let's see here.
Well, I want to know, like, where do I sell all my extra stuff?
Repair kit requires 5 wood, 2 flint, 10 stones, and 5 clay. So, and that they're pretty easy to come by.
Right.
Where do you sell your stuff?
Yeah, I don't want to just go to that trade place and trade it for different stuff. I want to cash it in for whatever is considered currency in the game.
Gold and silver and feathers. But nobody...
Yeah. I can trade feathers for silver, but I was already told feathers are currency in and of themselves, so I don't want to sell my feathers.
No, they're worth
gold.
So
how do I convert the other stuff to silver or gold?
And Noobville, was it 3 feathers for 1 silver?
Yeah, I don't want to sell my feathers.
Well, I understand. The feathers are more valuable than that. They're 10 feather or 8 feathers are worth 1 gold, and 1 gold is worth 40 pieces of silver.
Right. Now, both my characters are in Noobville. Actually, I think all 3 of them. But anyway, they're in Noobville. There are links that I can walk through to, like, Crossroads, and I think there's, like, 3 cities attached to that. Can I safely go to those without really being out of Noobsville, or am I out of Noobsville when I walk to those?
When you walk through those pillars,
yeah,
you're outside of Noobsville. Even if you're on that screen... You're outside of Noobsville. You can get killed.
Okay, so I step back into Noobsville, and I'm fine. When will I no longer be able to walk back into Noobsville?
That I don't know. The game determines a certain level that you've graduated. It could be a number of things. But they determine when you've graduated, and they kick you out.
Right. So you can either leave voluntarily or get forced out.
Yeah.
So stay.
As long as you can.
So stay until they give me the boot.
Yep. Or if you have too many materials and you need to drop them off, I can meet you somewhere and you can drop them off to me.
Crossroads.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Crossroads is too far. We would meet south of the square.
I don't know where that is.
You'll go through the square to get to Crossroads.
Okay, well, Crossroads is straight north of Noobsville.
Oh, is that where that I don't know what I would call it, that statue is?
I don't know.
Okay. I thought Crossroads was 250 Road and 250 Road crosses.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really gone outside of Newsville, except I've gone as far as that one city that starts with a W. But I went back immediately.
A W.
It's north of Crossroads.
You can't go north of there. You can go, when you go north out of Noobsville, unless they created a new section I've not been to yet, when you go north of Noobsville, you can go left or right.
Well, okay.
Left
is built a new direction. Apparently,
okay.
They built a new direction.
Well, I'll have to go check that out.
All right. Well, it's 2 minutes to nine.
Okey
contact
dokey.
Information you've given already, but we can repeat it real quick.
ScrapGoScrap.com!
Yeah. You can find out everything about our political podcast. Folks,
yeah.
I'll talk to you in about a half an hour.
All right, tell me when you log on with your other two characters. I'll invite you to our
One of them's our member of, I think it's D&D. D&D?
Yeah, I have to recreate it, so I'm kicking everybody out.
Okay, well, give me the boot then.
So I'll invite you to the Hemptoria tribe, which I'm the new leader of, and you can bring your materials there.
Yeah, maybe, if I'm willing to go far.
Oh, it's not that far. Just outside of Newsville, right before you get to Galebrook, I think is what it's called. Right when you come into Galebrook, it's right there. We're like right there at the entrance. We're perfect for noobs.
Well, we'll discuss this during the DD&D podcast. So.
All right. 10-4. Check out our DD&D podcast at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. Okay, bye.